This is the Dirt Reporters podcast for the week of March 27th, the final week of March Madness. I'm your host, E-Swap, Derek Kessinger, joined by the editorial staff of Kevin Kovac and Kyle McFadden. Kyle, is your bracket busted really quick? How are you looking here after the first two rounds?
UConn is the champion in my bracket, so I mean, that goes for probably like 85 to 90% of the people. So have my champion still alive. Kentucky, not so much. They went to my Final Four. They're long gone. So there's a quick update.
Yeah, we'll do a little moment of silence to our old colleague, Robert Holman, after another bow out by Kentucky in the first few rounds. I think I saw him commenting saying Calipari needs to be out of there. And of course, we have a big fan base of Dirt Late Model Racing who loves Big Blue Nation Kovac. So I don't know. He's on the hot seat, but they haven't made any official announcement yet for Calipari down there in Lexington, Kentucky. How's your bracket looking?
I actually didn't even do one. I haven't done one in a few years, I think. You know, Syracuse isn't in it, so I didn't, you know, I wasn't too into it, I guess, you know. But no, I just like, I watch it. I don't have to worry about the bracket. I don't even do fantasy football anymore and waste my time with that. So I'd rather just watch now.
Guys, how good did it feel? We'll start with Kevin Kovac. Maybe 1 minute you have the floor, then if not, I'll cut you off. Did it just feel of having National Series racing back in after the crazy week we had the week prior? Just nice, good fun, great racing the two nights at Brownstown and Atomic for the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. It felt pretty good, Kovac, when the sport had that bright light of just great racing and not too much controversy after the previous week, which was, just bananas and shenanigans.
Yeah, you kind of have to get back to racing sometimes to put all that other stuff to the side, push it all to the sidelines. It is kind of funny how as soon as like everybody gets back in the race cars and they start, rolling out on them just for hot laps, it's just a different feel already. You could totally feel like, let's get back to normal. It's about racing again. It's not about talking rumors and this guy's leaving this ride and this guy might be out of this. This guy might be replacing this guy. And this is why this happened. All that, like, as soon as the motors start firing back up at the racetrack in that pit area, it's like back to normal. This is what we're about, not about all the other scuttlebutt that happens off the racetrack. I mean, we had a lot of that, obviously, because there was so much. I mean, that March was like, that stretch of March is going to be remembered forever for how much stuff that happened. But it's always good to get back in, it's almost like put to the rearview mirror and you're like, man, that seemed like it was just happened yesterday, but now it's way in the back.
Yeah, we had Devin Moran winning Friday, holding off Bobby Pierce at the famous quarter mile of Brownstown there in Indiana. And then we had Jonathan Davenport still got it, going elbows up a little bit at Atomic for the Buckeye Spring 50. And I was exhausted, Kyle McFadden, after that article I wrote about Tim McCready and Mark Richards. I had that nice compliment saying, nice article, Swab, right? I mean, I wrote that big-time article, so I was tired, a little bit after that one.
People were definitely very grateful that you wrote that there, Swab, and they definitely liked the read. If you go back through the comments on Facebook, you'll see –
you were good. I was good, man. You got away with words, Derek. Man. Right, Kyle? Yeah, I mean, we never knew. Right. We never knew he was such a writer, right?
We had no clue. So if you go back to the comments there, you'll get
Kevin Kovac wrote it. I did not. Just somebody thought down, that people, a good fan.
Kevin Kovac.
Which I've never I maybe wrote like two things in my life on there. It was like a fast talk, and that's about it. My writing days are over. I'm more of an on-air interviewer on camera than I am with the writing. But Kyle McFadden, we'll start off with this past weekend. We'll go to Brownstown. The two guys that were under the tire controversy, Devin Moran and Bobby Pierce, put on a whale of a show at the Jackson County Fairgrounds there in the Hoosier State. Devin Moran holding off Bobby Pierce. It was pretty good. It was pretty good to see those guys bounce back after what happened there the week prior. A big time win for Devin Moran and a good run for Bobby Pierce.
I wouldn't say that, the tire controversy you know, has anything to do with them running 1-2 on Saturday. But then again, in that same vein, you would have to think that they're even more determined to just put that behind them. And let's face it, both of them have had, I mean, they're number one and two in our poll here to start the season for a reason. So Bobby Pierce and Devin Moran, they put on, that was my first time there to Brownstown, and certainly didn't disappoint. And so it's just good to Kovacs, or just like piggybacking off of what Kevin had said to start the show here. It's just nice to get back to the racetrack and cover racing again without just all of the March madness that happened in the news cycle of dirt late model racing. And it's just nice to be back again to see Tim McCready also in the Rocket One is going to take some time to get used to. That was definitely weird for me to be there in person and watch it all happen for the first time. And just to see also Devin and Bobby Pierce to be back to their usual form isn't as surprising. So definitely a good weekend all around, and yep, nice to head on into April here with hopefully some back to semblance of normalcy here.
Yeah, Devin Moran, after the weekend, is third in points just behind Ricky Thornton Jr. and Jonathan Davenport. Kovac, we've seen it in no matter what sport it is, when their backs are against the wall, they face adversity. It always seems like when you have a good sports feel-good story is they bounce right back, and that's essentially what Devin Moran did. And, I mean, Bobby Pierce was probably wanting to get the win, but a second-place run to kind of say, you know what, we're still good, we're still fast, we're going to try to put this thing behind us. But, I mean, you couldn't script it any better for Devin, could you?
Yeah, well, I kind of expected those two to be right back in the front of the field. It always seems like in racing, I mean, like, just think of like guys have a tangle or something. You'd have some controversy. They get into a fight. Who's going to be, I mean, write it down. Those guys are probably going to end up starting side by side in the heat race or a feature, something like that. And it was kind of the same thing with this, you know, those guys, they're in the middle of this controversy with the tires. Then first race back, the first time they get back to the racetrack to go racing again, here they are battling for the win, you know. And it's, you know, it was definitely a tough couple weeks for them, or week and a half or whatever it was, before they ran a race again. And, you know, they were hearing, you know, this stuff that gets end up being on social media thrown around there. And, man, oh, these guys, you know, like, they got caught there, you know, now they won't be any good. You know, they wanted to be good in that race. I mean, both of those drivers, they did not want to have an off night and be like, and let any, God bless you. They did not want anybody to be like, oh, look, you know, look at this. They finished 12th. They were a non-factor. I told you so. They're doing something to their tires. They wanted to go right back to way they were running before that. And that's what they did. They're good. And that Devin Moran is, if you, he seems like he's taken a good step here too. Remember last year at the end, like that whole second half of the season, it seems like, man, he was very, very consistent. You know, he didn't get wins, you know, he only had a couple of them all year, but he seemed like he was getting more and more like he was a top five guy all the time. Like a real consistency. He's finishing races. And I think that, I mean, obviously he almost won the title. He came within one lap of winning the title for Lucas Oil Series and that Big Four deal at Eldora. And this year, I just feel like he's going to be in that top, almost like mark him down now for a top four. If he doesn't finish in the top four, I'd be really surprised, because he just seems like he's really developing a good consistency with him, you know, where he finishes races and stays out of trouble and gets finishes.
Yeah, and I'm sure all those rumors of even Devin Moran had some, they know Hudson O'Neill is going to replace him in that double down ride. So I'm sure he wanted to quiet the critics up with that in that circumstance as well. Really, we'll go right back to you, Kovac, and talk about Atomic, the old scraggly veteran of Jonathan Davenport at a track.
Scraggly veteran. There he is.
Yes. Oh, I think he turned 40 this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He turned 40 on Halloween last year. So
okay,
he's
so
already
he's,
left. The
he's
30s.
Turned 40. He turned that. But yep. Jonathan Davenport, big time win, comes within 5 points of Ricky Thornton Jr. for first place in the standings. You know, hey, we can talk about these young guns. We can talk about the other guys, but I don't know. I just have not a weird feeling. I just have a feeling that maybe JD might be the top of the food chain when it's all said and done, when we go to the final week of the points.
Yeah, you could see that veteran-like sense around him now, it seems. I think I talked about that, what we talked about here on the podcast back in, you know, January, after he had that situation there with Ricky Thornton Jr. back at Golden Isles. You know, I remember when they came up, he was a little angry with Ricky when he won. He kind of got into him during the race, and they get up to the podium, and Davenport gave him like that little bump. I remember like saying, hey, it reminded me of like Dale Earnhardt, you know, like when he was that that veteran, the old school guy. They're just kind of like, you know, if you're gonna do anything, you got to kind of go through me. And he's gonna play around with these guys and show that he's you know, he has a little bit on him. He's the alpha kind of the racing series, and you can see that the way he just handles himself at the track. You know, he's an experienced guy now. He's been through it. He's seen it all. And man, you had to have been experienced. I think, I mean, that experience showed through this weekend, this past weekend, when he wasn't very good on Saturday at Brownstown. He finished 15th, damn near lapped, and then comes right back the next day and wins, sweeps the program. Heat race, you know, fast time, heat race feature, let all the 50 lapper, but two laps. Pretty impressive the way he rebounded like that. You have to have your game together to be able to do that. And I mean, I know Kyle, you talked to him after the race, you know, quite a bit. You read his story about him, and I mean, he really, and just reading your story about him gave me that sense that, you know, he's top of his game, where he knows, you know, he's not going to let a bad night get in, you know, like affect him for more than that night.
Yeah, that's the perspective. It's like when I was at Brownstown on Saturday and going down through like the running, just like where everybody finished, I had no idea that he finished 15th because he was a non-factor the whole night. And then you turn around at Atomic on Sunday and he looked honestly a lot like his 2022 season, where he set fast time, ran away in his heat race. And even though Mikey Marther gave him a pretty good run for his money there partway through that race, I think it was lap 15, 16 that he led after a caution that came out on lap 17. I think Jonathan, he couldn't be touched the whole rest of the way there. So, I mean, a lot like what he did back in 2022. And it makes you think, you know, what can this do here for the rest of the season for him in that team? I definitely think that there's definitely like, I feel like he has more of a direction with the overall balance of his race cars going into this spring than he did at this point last year. And so I definitely feel that veteran like assurance and confidence back in him. And now he's only 5 points out of the lead, even though, you know, points in that top four, it certainly matters. But you know, this year with the 8-race playoff coming down to the wire at the end of the season, we'll have to monitor that. But certainly for he and that double L team, certainly point it in the right direction after this weekend.
Yeah, he picked up his 73rd career full field late model victory in the Lucas Oil Series. Shout out to Mike Marler picking up the second place finish at Atomic, and then Devin Moran rounded out the podium there with a good third place run. So we did our predictions way back, a month or two ago, of what's going to happen. So we're going to revamp a little bit, as Kovac called it before we got on this call. We're going to redo our picks, but maybe preview the series a little bit differently, just because of all the craziness and all the chaos that happened, you know, that happened a couple weeks ago. Let's just start off with the Lucas Oil Series. We're already on it. Let's see. The top four is Ricky Thornton, Jonathan Davenport, Devin Moran, and Hudson O'Neill. We not necessarily know what Hudson O'Neill is going to do the rest of the year. And then Mike Marler, who has been picking up speed here lately, he's in fifth. Dalton Wilson, sixth. Shepard, he's in seventh. I'm guessing he's going to run the Outlaws. Kovac, when you hear those top six or seven, Jimmy Owens, eighth, he kind of, I think, said he's going to run that series now. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, yeah, and then keep going back there. Ninth is Tim McCready with the Rocket House car now.
Ninth.
And so you have to imagine that he's going to rise here too. I mean, he's going to get rolling in that car eventually. That top four is going to be really hotly contested. Because it's like it's blown away now with Hudson leaving that Rocket car. And now you don't even know like what he's going to do. He's the defending champion, obviously. And even though I didn't pick him for the championship this year, when we did our picks earlier, I still said, you know, Ricky Thornton this year is going to get it. Get kind of redemption from last year. But still, I had Hudson being in that top four. Now, you don't know, man. One of our Fast Talk questions this week was, is that his ceiling? Will the top four be his ceiling? Or is it the ceiling still winning the championship? And you can't really know with Hudson. You don't know what he's going to run, you know, the rest of the year. And it's always difficult for any team for a driver to run a national tour with a team that wasn't planning on running a national tour before the season even started, you know? I mean, and here, this is in the middle of the season. This is in season here, and he's going to be, if he, to get through this whole, unless he just picks and, you know, and like, you know, pieces a whole season together with the Lucas Oil series, maybe some with Rumley, some with another team, some with this team. I mean, of course, that's no way to really contend for a championship against these other guys that are really got their stuff together. He's such a wild card now. We don't know what Hudson O'Neill is going to do and if he will be able to assemble a team that will be strong enough to keep him in the top four, you know, let alone win the championship. It'll be tough. I mean, a lot of the, you know, crew guys are already taken, already with the other teams. And whether you're going to get some guy, you know, you have to try to lure somebody over. How do you put this all together when everyone already has been doing that, your rivals? So it'll be really tough for Hudson to you know, end up in that top four, I think, now. Especially right. when you look at those top three are pretty damn good right now. Ricky, Jonathan, Moran, and Mike Marler, two podiums this week. He's coming on. He's going to get better and better, I think. Plus McCready.
And that's what I was kind of saying. So last year, Hudson O'Neill, the guys that were behind him now, or behind him last year, Tim McCready, he obviously is in the Rocket One, so you feel like he's going to be in position to be right there. Mike Marler wasn't on the series next year, so he's kind of spoiled the party. And then you got Dalton Wilson. I mean, the way he kicked off Speed Weeks, how fast he was, I feel like the end of the year when we go to the tracks where he started to come on a little bit more and more, it's going to be tough for Hudson, I think, to get in that top four. Never say never. He's a wheel man. Maybe he can find something that comes together, but like Kovac said, Kyle McFadden, it's going to be very, very tough for him. And I feel like we have six or seven guys trying to battle for, you know, those final two spots, just because I think Ricky Thornton Jr. and JD and Devin, maybe just one spot. Those three guys are going to be pretty much locked up for the rest of the year. So it's going to be very tough for that final four spot. I think tougher than it was last year, even though we had a close finish.
The parity and the depth of this series roster, I asked Jonathan Davenport this on Sunday, if he thinks this roster is the toughest that he's ever been a part of on the Lucas Oil series, and he agreed to that. And so just because of the depth, and 10 guys have already won series features this year on the series. I have to go back and look to see the last time that's happened through 15 or 16 races. And so Tim McCready sitting in ninth, I don't want to call him that wild card, but he's certainly a wild card right now. Being 160 points out of that fourth spot from Hudson O'Neill. And so when you're looking back up through the standings, I talked with Jimmy Owens this weekend after the DNQ at Brownstown. He isn't entirely sure if he wants to see it through this year on the series. He'd like to. I remember talking with him back at Speed Weeks, and he had kind of made a comment to me saying that he missed following the Lucas Oil Series, but he's not in a terrible spot. He's only 5 points ahead of T-Mac there in eighth. And then Brandon Shepherd, I'd imagine he'd stick with the Outlaw Tour, Dalton Wilson. He's still hanging around. He had a pair of top tens, I think, this past weekend too. He's only 90 points out of fourth. So, and then Mike Marler's picking up steam. I feel like he has speed back in his race car. I felt like at Votto, he had an oil pump break after one of the qualifying sessions. It was like the second race out at Votto. And I felt like ever since that moment, he had been kind of searching and trying to get back to comfort in his race car. Just like something in that deal kind of set the team just a little bit off course, not terribly far off, but not where they would like to be. But I feel like he's back to where that team or where he and his team would like to be. So you have all these moving pieces and all these factors, and then where does Hudson O'Neill kind of fall in the midst of that? I'd imagine after talking with Hudson too on Saturday that the next time that the series rolls back around at Georgetown on April 26th, that he'll have his full-time deal in place. He doesn't have details yet as to what that would be. I'd imagine he'd be in a Longhorn, and I'd imagine he would have a good enough team around him to still obviously win races. Now the question is just the consistency part of it. And I mean, let's face it, you look at the drivers who, and I don't want to get too like off subject with this, but I'll leave you with this. The drivers who experienced change last year with like Jonathan Davenport, new crew chief, Devin Moran, new team. Who else last year? Brandon Shepherd changing chassis. It took them a little bit to get going. And so, you know, maybe that'll be the case here for Hudson. Maybe it won't, but it's certainly created a lot of parity and just a lot of different drivers. Like, you could easily run 8th to 10th nowadays. That's what Jonathan Davenport told me. And feel like you're not too far off, like, with your race car. It's just how competitive it is. So it's a good problem to have for us onlookers and fans in the sport, and certainly ramping things up as a competitor standpoint.
Yeah, Lucas Oil will be off for 31 days before they kick off Georgetown, which, go back in this world, is a long, long time, as we just experienced it here in the last 14 or so days.
Let's hope they don't go crazy, right? Let's hope things don't crazy in that time. Luckily, there is more racing hopefully going on, so they can go do some.
There's a lot more racing going on. We have the Jeff Hoker race up there for the Nippy 50. The Outlaws will be racing here at Farmer City in a couple weeks. We'll flip side to the Woo Series. You know, Bobby Pierce, what's he going to do? You think he'll run majority of the Woo races? That championship opens wide up for all those drivers. And, you know, currently, if you're looking at it right now, Bobby Pierce is winning, but then he goes Brandon Shepherd, Chris Madden, Kay Dillard, you know, are the next World of Outlaw regulars. So if you're Sheppy, you're feeling pretty good. If you're Madden, you're feeling pretty solid as well. Like, what's going to shake out there? Because, this kind of is like a – not much has been talked about it with the racing because they haven't raced since February. Lucas Oil kind of had the bright stage here, you know, this past few days.
Yeah, the Outlaws were supposed to run this past weekend back down there in Thunder Hill in Tennessee. They had to postpone that to make it from a 2-day show to a 1-day show in a few weeks because the track, the construction wasn't done yet, and with the weather the way it's been, so they pushed that off. So those guys didn't, have to sit out until a Illini 100 in a couple weeks, like we said, at Farmer City. And it's like Bobby Pierce, and unless something happens here, like with that appeal, there's been no word about this yet. Anything if they heard the appeal that Bobby Pearson, all of them actually, Devin Moran, Kyle Bronson, about their tire situation with the World Race Group, unless something would be, changed in the penalties. There's obviously Bobby Pierce is not going to be a World of Outlaws regular this year now, and he'll just be a pick and chooser and then run like the Castrol series and also the XR series for his points. That throws this thing wide open, and it makes me feel pretty good about my pick that from the beginning of the year. I said Chris Madden. I said I just have a feeling on Chris Madden is going to finally win that championship. He's too good not to win a national tour eventually, get a national tour title on his resume. And it almost feels like, you know, like when a guy is so good and is a veteran like Madden and they've run so many races and they've come close to this, the big race wins or a big series wins. And eventually something breaks their way, you know, that's how good they are. And if they've come so close before, I think you just get these little things that break their way. And already this Bobby Pierce situation with the tire, I mean, he was the point leader after Florida, and now it's, you know, Brandon Shepherd is, but Madden's right there. It gives me that feeling that things are breaking Chris Madden's way. He didn't, you know, he's been right. He's got in his last four, he hasn't raced since Cherokee, you know, like about what, 3 weeks ago. But he's had four straight top three finishes and, you know, dating back to the end of Speed Weeks at Volusia. So he's going good. He has a good car and he's feeling confident. And now he picks up a spot in the point standings because Bobby Pierce loses, you know, all his points without even racing. So that's gotta be a good feeling about what's going on with Chris Madden for the rest of this year on the World of Outlaws side.
Good pick, Kovac. Did you kind of like had a sense that maybe Pierce was going to get these sanctions and fines and all this, and then Matt was going to win.
Didn't have that. Didn't have that on the bingo card, but you know, but it's just something, you know, going in his direction. And Madden's.
Yeah, and did you talk to what Bobby was going to do here the rest of the year? I know a lot of people are probably on their edge of their seats wondering what he's going to do. Is he just going to be a hit or miss? I would imagine that he's going to go to all the big races regardless, even if it's a, you know, a dirt car award of all a sanction. I mean, Pierce isn't going to miss Eldora or Cedar Lake or Fairbury. Did he hint to you at all what he may or may not do?
I think freelancing is the way that he's headed right now. I think there's also some hope that the appeal would come back and reroute the season for him, perhaps on the Outlaw Tour. Now, I have no idea where that stands, as Kovac said, and that's just purely, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen there. Usually those things don't turn out in a driver's favor, or usually like doesn't reverse course. But I'd imagine that Bobby would go back to a lot of what he used to run, freelancing and Summer Nationals. He didn't specifically say Summer Nationals, but I'd imagine that going back to what he used to do in his race team, which I don't think he would mind doing, but I really think he enjoyed the Outlaw Tour so much last year. And I don't blame him in that for winning almost half the series races and in the runaway championship he had. But I'd imagine he goes back to the freelance schedule. And I would have to go with Kovac here that Chris Madden would be the favorite. And I didn't even realize it till now. He hasn't won an Outlaw Championship. So sometimes one driver's misfortune. It's been really close. Sometimes one driver's misfortune is another driver's fortune. So could be Chris Madden's year. So I think the stars are pointing to that now. It won't be easy, but I think he's certainly the guy to beat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. As the great Mike Norris, the announcer at Fairbury's, known for saying during his broadcast, especially there at Eldora when he is the pit reporter there. He does a fantastic job. What do you think, Kovac, really quick, before I get to a bold prediction that's going to happen on each series? I want you guys to say something. What do you think about Pierce? What are you feeling the same thing as Kyle and I, that he's just going to go out there and just put on a clinic and wax everybody and just be PO'd and just take this as motivation for the rest of the season?
Well, yeah, I mean, he won't run for points other than, you know, he will run the Castrol and the XR stuff that he's planning to do, and that'll be his point fund deals. And so when he goes to, like, remember last year at the Prairie Dirt Classic? Do you remember that? I mean, remember Ricky Thornton Jr. letting it all hang out and passing Bobby Pierce late in that race after losing those spots because the car stalled out and comes up.
And then he said,
Ricky's saying, well, go ahead.
And then Pierce was like, I would have pushed the envelope more, but I'm point
Right.
racing. Now he can't. He has no excuse now if that happens again.
Right. Right. That's exactly was my thought, you know, where now he gets in that situation and it's not like looking big picture or anything, you know, like, I mean, let's just say I don't know if Bobby could have, you know, been able to outrun Ricky Thornton in that race PDC last year. I don't think Bobby really was 100% confident in that either, because Ricky was like on a mission there after, you know, having to restart a few spots back. But it would have taken one heck of a, you know, it would have taken a hard racing, I guess, from Bobby. And I don't know if that car had it in it that night, but he wasn't even going to attempt it because, you know, the bigger picture was in mind. This time, maybe he would attempt it to do it. I mean, like, you know, back, you know, he let it all hang out a little bit more at the North South 100 than Ricky Thornton did, because with the witness situations were changed last year with the points, you know, and the guys running their series in those races. So that's what I think you will see. Bobby, he can let it all hang out, because really you have to. He has to win races now. He's not getting show. He will if no appeal helps him out to let him, you know, gives him a reprieve here, his second life, I guess. He doesn't get show up money. You know, he won't be getting point fund money at the end of the year from the World of Outlaws, or, you know, or Lucas Oil Series, because he can't run either of them. And so he has to win races if he's gonna, you know, make money. He has to win even more than he did last year, so to cover that extra money that he would have gotten. So you'll be a pretty motivated Bobby Pierce to do that. But man, it's disappointing that he can't go for another, that he wouldn't be able to go for another World of Outlaws title. Because I mean, he really seemed like he was really pumped up about doing that. He was really focused in on it.
I'd be pumped up too if I dominated half the races and won over $1 million in a good championship. So I've been very pumped up too. And then him leaving Volusia with the points lead, unlike last year where he was kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. So he was destined to have a great, great season regardless. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing for his competition, because he's just going to let it all hang out in those races, and he has no excuses. He's going to be trying to win them as he does every single time, but maybe we'll just see him turn up the wick at certain events that maybe he kind of held back the reins a little bit last year. Okay, Kovac. Name me a bold prediction in one of the series. It could be World of Outlaws or Lucas Oil. Now that we kind of have this reset of drivers going in new cars and different competitors, you know, not going to be on the series we thought a month ago. What do you think is going to happen?
How about Lucas Oil Series? Nobody hits double figures and wins this year.
Ooh,
that's how much
I like
the races
it.
Are going to be. That's how much the victories will be spread out. I mean, we touched on it a little bit there earlier. Already 10 of the top 11 drivers in the point standings currently have wins. I mean, not all those guys, you know, Brandon Shepard, Jimmy Owens, we don't know. Will they run the whole series? We'll have to see. But as it stands right now, 10 of the top 11 have already won a feature. The only one who hasn't is Garrett Albertson, and he's run pretty good. He's been in contention for some wins, you know? So that's pretty amazing, really. I mean, you look at a lot of series. I mean, there's guys will go. You're at the end of the year, if the top 10 guys have wins, it's really surprising. You know, you usually don't see that, and it's already happened here with the Lucas Oil Series. And this is after, like, man, remember Ricky Thornton and Hudson O'Neill both got out of the gate pretty quick. They had seven wins between them in those first 10 races or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and then. Suddenly 10 straight races after that, different winner. So I feel like there's not going to be a 20 race winner this year. There's not going to be a guy that dominates like Ricky Thornton. I don't see it. I feel like it's really going to be spread out, those wins. Nobody gets the double figures.
Kyle McFadden, what do you got?
I think, so when you're looking on the Outlaw Tour, I'll give an outlaw bold predictions, so to speak. It's Brandon Shepherd and Chris Madden would have to be the two favorites. But right behind them, Cade Dillard, I think that he's going to create some three-way battle. I don't want to say going down into Charlotte, but in the final races, I think that it's going to be – I don't think Cade's going to let those two run away. As good as Brandon Shepherd and Chris Madden can be and are, I just think Cade is going to be in the championship picture. So that's going to be my bold prediction.
I like it. I was going to say something about Cade Dillard. That'd be pretty wild if at the end of the year he's holding up the championship trophy, probably with Matt Shepard and whoever else, maybe Donnie Schatz there, because Matt Shepard wins every single year there.
Sheppy, the modified Sheppy, right?
Yeah, the modified Sheppy. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see. A lot of things could change here in the next month with weather-related things. So you could get some rainouts. Who knows? We might be in middle of May, like we've seen in the past, where drivers are making the decision on where they're going to race and whatnot. But crazy, crazy start. Crazy fourth of the year. Crazy quarter, right? The first quarter was nuts. You're like, we can't top this the rest of the way. Well, 2024 might be a different story for that, where we can't really control what's going to happen or anything that's going to be in the horizon. I have no idea what's going to happen. So be very interesting to see. Kevin Kovac, we'll start with you with one more thing.
This one more thing from yesterday. Actually, we're taping this, record this on Tuesday, and this happened Monday. If you would have, like, some people in the racing world noticed that there was reports of a giant fire going on at the right near East Bay Raceway Park. It was down there in Riverview, Florida, at the Mosaic Company. And it was reported on by the some of those aerial shots of this giant, like, smoke flying, coming up out of the, filling up the sky right there off of Route 41 by the racetrack. And it's like, well, where is this? Was this near the racetrack? Was that the Mosaic Company, the company that neighbors East Bay and is buying the racetrack at the end of the year? How close was the track? I checked with Al Varnador, the promoter at East Bay, and he said, actually, this was the Mosaic, not that big pile, that big mountain, the holding pond or whatever you call it, that's next to the racetrack, beyond the backstretch. This was actually a brush fire that it spread into some plastic, tubes and stuff and all. It was in the Mosaic plant across the highway on the other side of Route 41, probably a couple miles down the road. So it was that one on the west side of the highway. So it wasn't like the track was not threatened, but man, if you just take a look at some of the news reports from down there in the Tampa area, I mean, there was some major smoke from this thing, and it didn't really hit the plant other than it was a brush fire and some piping. But it was, when you see that pop up, there's something happening at the Mosaic plant in Riverview, Florida, right off of 41. You're like, oh, it's not the racetrack, right? So, fortunately, no bad situation at the racetrack. It was far enough away; nothing happened there.
Oh, thank goodness. You're saying there's a chance we'll be back in 2025. Yes. Cannot wait for the Winter Nationals.
It's still there, right? Yes.
Kyle McFadden, what do you got for us?
Port Royal Speedway is hoping to, for the third attempt, launch their weekly racing program this upcoming weekend. They've had rainouts the past two. And so if that happens, I'm pretty sure it will. The forecast is looking a heck of a lot better. They actually moved up hot laps to 3 p.m., so catch the Port Royal opener, which usually gets 30 plus, sometimes close to 40 cars. So I know Greg Satterly will be there, among others. And so I plan to head on out at this point. And so if all goes well, and so make sure to catch all the action on Flow Racing.
Yes, be sure to check it all out. My one more thing is, Easter weekend this week. A lot of the times the National Series don't necessarily race, which is not the case. So we're going to have regional races galore, paying good money. We got Spring Nationals. We got the race up in Iowa for 20 grand on Saturday. We got the Toilet Bowl. So it's just one of those weekends where we might see a guy that we wouldn't expect winning a five-figure payday if the heavy hitters are in town. Maybe make some money this weekend. So this is kind of like the end of March, the Cinderella stories could be finishing off on the final weekend and Easter weekend, where we get to know national guys. And it'll also be kind of cool and interesting where those national guys will go out and race, because, they don't like taking time off either. And we'll be very interesting to see if we see, like, Jimmy Owens at Tazewell, or we see, Ricky Thornton up in Iowa for the Nippy 50. So It's exciting. These are the times where I like, where you don't know where anybody's going to go. The weather looks pretty good here in the Midwest. It's going to be in the mid 60s, maybe possibly low 70s. So good racing weather up here. And I mean, who doesn't like the toilet bowl, Kovac? That trophy's sweet. And you sit on the crapper there and have a good time.
Yeah, Dennis Erb's going for another one. He'll go for his, I think he said it would be his fourth toilet bowl, you know, so maybe he can bring another one back to the shop.
Cool story on that. Brian Shirley in his race shop has his toilet bowl trophy, the actual toilet, and he put it in his plumbing in his shop bathroom. It says toilet bowl champion Clarksville Speedway. So he made very good use of the toilet he won there in Clarksville a few years back. So I thought that's always a cool story when I went to his shop and did a couple videos. I think it was the roadside door actually where I found out that he had that toilet in there. So best of luck to all the competitors. Be sure to check Dirt on Dirt and Flow Racing for some great stories by these two. Some great videos. We have a preview with Jeff Hoker on Suave Talk this week, previewing the big race up there and is making his promoting debut. And be sure to check it out. It'll be live on Flow Racing as well as the Spring Nationals. We have a whole bunch of racing, whole bunch of stories and articles and videos. So keep your browsers locked in. Until next time, we'll see you next week. This is the Dirt Reporters.